Hey guys, instead of a previous Leon, I want to tell you I'm hosting a live debate between Justin Schieber and Robert Johnson on the topic of suffering and is that evidence against God. And that's on my other show, Atheistically Speaking. That's this Saturday, the 26th, noon Pacific time. Please, 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 please find the link that I posted on multiple social media and attend that and share it if you can. I really want to make it a successful event so that I can have more of them. All right. Thank you so much. And well, I guess I'll do a Bible podcast while I'm here. You know, might as well. You know, I don't use the word hero lightly, but whoever just made that intro is a hero and listened to everything that he said, or she. Okay. All right, how you guys been? How's it hanging? Well, let's see. We're on Mark 2 today. Mark 2. And we're going to read through Mark 5. So that's all I've got. And it's kind of fun. We're just reading the same story that we already read. Gonna just read it again, guys. All right. And then after that, you'll never guess what's after that. We read again. So we get to read the same thing. I guess God did think this was somewhat of an important story. So he's like, well, I'm going to have three or four different versions of it. And you have to read all of them. And that's how it goes. So, all right, whatever. Mark 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Huh? And straightway, many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, and then they could not come nigh unto him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, I'm sick of the palsy. I gotta tell you, I'm awfully sick of the palsy. Like, I've had it up to here with the friggin' palsy. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he's like, I don't sin, I just have palsy. He's like, I appreciate that, Jesus. I don't know, I mean, you're not a doctor, but this is just palsy. I didn't do anything to earn this. See, I just have palsy. So, once again, thanks for forgiving my sins that you don't know anything about. Just the palsy. Just a case of the old palsy here. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy. That was like a stage direction, I think. Jesus walked stage right. Then said, that would actually be kind of helpful. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Well, there you go. Once again, a community service done, a miracle performed. So I'm sure what we'll have is a completely thankful people, very excited, not possibly wanting to crucify Jesus for no reason, I would say. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, They said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And they're like, that's what I said. I just thought that. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of... Man, sorry. Oh, this is going to be a tough one. I'm going to need a good yawn count on this one. Someone should put together the yawn count of the whole Old Testament. I would not wish that upon my worst enemy. For one thing, listen to me. And then for another thing, like, keep track of how many times I yawn in my terrible show. Oh, that would be so great, though. You know, it would be fun to do it, to have, like, a giveaway where, you know, whoever can guess the number closest wins something, like a new car. And so, I mean, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not going to buy a new car and give it away, but I'm saying it would be cool if somehow whoever guessed it got a new car. I don't know how, but that is what would be the cool thing to happen. And it came to... And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh... Oh, I said that. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said, fast not what you can do for your country. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The children of the bride chamber fast. What does that mean? Hold on. Let me check that. Let me think about that. This is annoying. It actually wasn't that easy to figure out what that means. I'm not 100% sure. From context, it just sounds like there's some tradition where the bridegroom fasts, or rather the children fast while the bridegroom is gone. Obviously it implies that that's a tradition, but I don't really understand. I couldn't find anybody after Googling for a while that knows the origin of that. Basically, all Jesus is saying is that while he's here, he's God, so people shouldn't be doing the old Jewish things that they did, like, oh, they'd fast to, you know, celebrate this or to remember this or do whatever. They have different customs, and Jesus thinks that they shouldn't be doing them while he's here, because it's like, well, God's here. You don't need to do all these, like, you know, customs that you're supposed to do, you know, because I don't, it's weird. I still can't find a direct, like, good explanation of that specific comparison he uses, but that's essentially what it says. But anyway. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But the new wine must be put into new bottles. Maybe that applied back in the day. Bottle making wasn't as good as it is now, but that that comparison doesn't really work. And it came to pass that when he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the shewbread, which is not lawful but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So it's basically just saying, like, yeah, I'm in charge. I get to do what I want, you know? When you're asking, like, hey, officer, why don't you use your turn signals? It's like, dude, I get to do whatever I want. I'm the officer. I can do anything. So, you know, Mark 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and it was Dumbledore. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. Oh yeah, this story already happened in the other one. And he saith unto the man that which had the withered hand, stand for, the guy's like, I swear I wasn't masturbating. That's not why my hand is withered. It was a candle. I burned it. I don't know. But it wasn't masturbating. I don't remember what it was. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. It's like, wow, golly, I'm going to be masturbating. Doing good deeds with this hand. Good, amazing deeds with this hand very soon. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. Yeah, this happened in the last book too. Cool. This really limits me creatively when I have to read the same exact thing that just happened. It's like, hey, do you know all those things you thought of last time? Well, we're going to give you the exact same thing, and you have to think of different things to try to keep the podcast entertaining. So, sorry, it's a tough task, but I'll do my best. And from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard the great things he did, came unto him. For whatever reason, though, as I've mentioned oft, still people want to kill him. I don't know why that would be. The minute someone's performing miracles and curing people's, withered masturbatory hands, I would be like, that's a guy I want to keep around. Maybe someday I'll have a weird withered masturbating hand and I'll need him to cure it. So maybe I'll keep him around. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, for some reason. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them... Boanerges. B-O-A-N-E-R-G-E-S. Boanerges. I got your Boanerge right here, which is the sons of thunder. And Jesus is like, admittedly, it's not my best work, but Sons of Thunder is not a bad name. That should be a metal band, don't you think? Sons of Thunder. I think I was just singing Metallica. Yeah, that could have been Sons of Thunder. There's got to be a band called Sons. There must be, but I'm looking this up right now. Sons of Thunder. Hold on. This must exist. It'll be even better if it's like a Christian metal band. Sons of Thunder. Sons of Thunder, Sons of Thunder. Here we go. They've got songs. Sons of Thunder rock band. Christian rock band. yeah. Active from 1998. Oh, that's awesome. I knew it. Sons of Thunder, Christian rock band, guys. I called it. Did I not call it? I think I called it. So there you go. Sons of Thunder. Too bad. I was going to name my band that, but no, I can't. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Eddie Van Halen. Oh, I bet that's a band too. Or Van Halen, rather. I ruined that joke. And Van Halen and the Beatles. And I bet all these are bands. No, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. Why is it already saying that? We're not at that point in the story. What kind of book is it? It's like if, let's see, what's a popular book where someone betrays someone? It's like if in Lord of the Rings, in like early in the first book, it just said like, yeah, and so Gandalf knew, you know, knew Saruman, who, by the way, betrayed Gandalf. But anyway, he knew Saruman. They're good friends. And it's like, wait, what? He betrayed him? Oh, yeah, sorry, that's much later in the books, but I'm just saying it now for no reason, just to ruin it. It's like, oh, okay, that's good writing. It's good job. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. So this is funny. So I've seen that house divided, kingdom divided. I've seen that quote a lot of times as though it's something brilliant, but it's funny because it's actually incredibly stupid here. All it is a reason that Jesus can't be Satan. So like they're accusing Jesus of being Satan. And he's like, I just cast out a demon. How could I be Satan? It's all you'd have to do is raise your hand. Well, that could have been a decoy demon. Like you could have just pretended to cast out a demon. Like, there's plenty of explanations, but he goes on with it. He's like, look, I can't be Satan and cast out a demon. Could a house divided against itself stand? No, no. And if Satan rose up against himself, then that wouldn't work. It's like, yeah, but, or you could have just pretended or tricked people. Like it's not really an answer. So that quote that I've seen a million times is actually just dumb, I think, unless I'm missing something. No man can enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall have never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whatsoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother and my sister, and my brother and my sister and my mother. All right, going to Mark 4, we're reading through 5, so that's pretty cool, we're getting there. And he began to teach, again, to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. Ooh, I wonder if he'll walk on any water. Hope there's some water around, just in case. Guys, I'm going to admit, I've read the story before. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I've read this. I know what's coming up. It's good. It's classic. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them this doctrine. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Oh, parable of the sower again. This ought to be good because I'm sure it wasn't good the first time. But this time, I bet you it's going to parably... Sorry, I'm a little tongue twisted and tired. Parableing is going to parable me right into belief, I'm sure. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, guys, oh no. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground. I wonder what happened to that, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. The other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him asked, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Do ye know not this parable? And how then will you know all the parables? The sower soweth the word. Oh, we weren't really talking about crops? Oh, man. Jesus totally got us, man. He wasn't talking about seeds. I know that was what it said. He was talking about his word. Oh, no way. Awesome. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. You know, I don't remember it explaining it this well before. I wonder if this explanation is a little better. Interesting. When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And though these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear, and with what measure ye meet, and it shall be measured to you, unto you that more shall be given. For he hath to him that shall be given, and he hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? And people were like, hey, just tell us. I don't need a farming and agriculture lesson and then apply that to the kingdom of God. How about you just tell us? How about you just go ahead and tell me how the kingdom of God, whatever, something, whatever. How about that? Would that work? So this kingdom of God. I lost my spot. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Seems pointless. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they that had sent away the multitude took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Ooh, can't wait for this one, guys. I'm excited. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? It's not a man, it's a shark. I don't know. And they came over, oh, this is Mark 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Ah, isn't that always how it goes? You get off a ship, and then some zombie comes. That feels like every time. Every time I travel. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains, the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. So no one could, like, offer... Yeah, so it's this weird zombie, like, spirit thing. People, not only could they not chain him up, they couldn't tame him. They're, like, trying to do tricks with food. Like, stay, no. And always, night and day, he's in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Oh, so now he's pretty emo. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." Oh, again with the swine. Cool. Again, we've read all this. It's going to have slightly different details that are not interesting. So that's how it goes. And the swine, they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and see him. What? And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. That's like present tense or something. I can't really figure that out. And see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right hand. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion for thee." So he wants his message to get out to that guy and to that guy's family. Like, hey, tell everyone how great I am, okay? Okay. But, like, he doesn't do a whole lot of work on PR in general, because this is such a backward story. Because in Jesus' mind, he apparently knows, like, oh, they got to crucify me later. I want to perform miracles. I want to give proof of how cool I am, but not too much. I want people to like me, but not too much. I want to tell people how to follow the word of the Lord, but I got to disguise it a little bit, because otherwise then people listen to me and they won't kill me. It's like, no, or you just do it all really well. Everyone listens to you. No one kills you and we're all happy. Like, so dumb. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned... I don't remember this. Is this different? So this woman who's bleeding, I don't know if she's bleeding in a feminine way or what, for 12 years, like, has some thing. She's like, oh, I know if I just go and touch Jesus's garment, then I'll be cured. So she does. And then it says Jesus detected that, like, some of his virtue was gone. Oh, that's so good. Like, did some slutty woman touch me? Like, what's going on? Like, he has that detector on him. Like, if someone, oh man, that's awesome. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest multitudes thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While yet he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus had heard what the word was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Well, that cheered them up. But when he had put them all out, it taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, he taketh, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was dying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So that's the end of our boring, repetitive reading for today. So thank you guys for listening as usual. I just want to remind you, please attend that debate or watch it online. It's just, I don't know the best way to find it. It's a Google Hangout event, 12 p.m. Pacific time. So that's noon Pacific time Saturday. Pretty please. I've tweeted it. I've Facebooked it. I'd really appreciate support with this for my other podcast, because I just want to be able to do more events like this. Bring you debates. Debates are fun. I like them. Anyway, thanks for that. And then also thank you to my fine Patreons. You guys are the best. You are the wind in my sails. Let me see if I had any new ones. I don't think I did. Well, you know what? No new patrons this for the last couple weeks. I'm sad. Come on, guys. Maybe one of you can be my next patron. Patreon.com/TNTheB. I've lost some patrons. That's okay. Sometimes people run out of money, or they, you know, things change in their life and they can't pay anymore. That's fine. But if you can spare $1 an episode, means a lot to me. I'm sure you won't really notice it. It's a pretty small amount, but every little bit helps the podcast and helps it grow and helps the studio improve, all that stuff. So thank you guys. And I want to thank my top supporters currently, and that would begin with Mr. John Bodley, Marcel, Katie, Stacy Swaney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Scott McFarland, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Garfort, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, Ariberto. Thank you guys so much. Very kindly. Thank you for being my patrons. I love you guys. All right, I will talk to you all next week, and I can't wait to hopefully see some of you in the live listening audience or viewing audience of the debate this Saturday. Thanks.